you want to be an all-star.
Hey,
well,
now.
It takes guts. It takes talent. It takes perseverance. And it takes being a big dog. Big dog, Waltalk-matic. We're Jordan Flegel. Coming at you, 2025 NBA All-Star Selection Special. Always a heated debate. Always a great show. For any of you listeners who haven't heard our All-Star specials, this is one of the coup de grace, one of the highlights of the year. Jordan and I take our All-Star selections very seriously, unlike many of you listening at home, voting LaMelo Ball as an Eastern Conference starter. We're looking at all of you. But today, Jordan and I will be unveiling our full All-Star teams on Thursday of this week. We're recording this Monday night. You guys will be listening to this Tuesday. On Thursday, they'll be announcing the actual NBA All-Star starters. We're giving you the full teams right here, right now, before they announce the starters. And again, this is not who we think will be the All-Stars this year. This is who we think should be the All-Stars for this season. This is our picks. This is we have our own metrics, our own evaluation tactics. This year, Jordan, I think I might have taken a page out of your book. I believe last year, correct me if I'm wrong, I want to say you set a game threshold of something like 35 games. I set one this year of 32. If you hadn't played 32 games, you could not be an All-Star, which was a damn shame because, you know, guys like Paolo Banchero, Luka Doncic, not considered All-Stars. LaMelo Ball, not an All-Star.
I don't know if he would have been anyway, but yeah.
Yeah, but multiple guys who have All-Star level stats and ability that will be ineligible in my criteria, and I'm sure will be the same for you.
Well, yeah, I went with 30, actually, Matt. I said, fuck this, I'm going with 30. And... you know, it, I think for the guys who are close, like who I'd say I really want to make it, but it hurts me to leave them off the team. Like they're well below that. Like there were no guys where I was like, you know, he probably deserves to be an All-Star, but he's at 28, 29. Like all those guys you mentioned, like Paolo's literally played 10 games this year. I think John Morant's at 25.
Luka's 22, I want to say.
22. So, you know, a lot of these guys, and I mean, number 21 from Philly, not that he even deserves it.
I didn't even consider him.
But I'm sure he's well under that that threshold. So, this it's in previous years, it's been like, oh, these guys are close to my sort of artificial cutoff, and it kind of felt weird leaving guys out. But this year, it was actually surprisingly easy to say, you know what, you clearly didn't play enough games. And so I've rewarded a few guys with picks here who, you know, in other years probably wouldn't, you know, quite make it in. But I think, you know, you got to reward the best ability, which is availability, as we know.
Yes, 100%. We'll get into that as well as, you know, all of our actual evaluations of the talent. We're going to go east through west, starting with the Eastern Conference starters. And without further ado, let's get into it, Jordan. And
let's do it.
This is the first year that we're actually going to see a little bit of a change up here in the East. It's kind of felt a little stagnant, especially in the front court. I don't think it's going to be completely different. I believe the last two, maybe three seasons, it has been Giannis, Jason Tatum, and number 21 from Philadelphia. This year, Jordan, I think we've mentioned it, you know, even on the weekly episodes of the pod. Do we have a Giannis, Jason Tatum, Karl Anthony Towns starting front court in the Eastern Conference this season?
Drum roll. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And that was pretty easy for me to pick those two.
Yep. Same for me. It was kind of a no-brainer for those three. Giannis and Tatum are the top two forwards in the Eastern Conference. Not even comparable. That's them. Those two and the rest.
Yep.
You know, when number 21 was at his peak, obviously he was roped in with them as well as a front court member. But Giannis and Tatum have been sensational all year long. I mean, Tatum, you look at him again. I think if any year you could point out that, you know, maybe he's not getting enough MVP love, this might be it. You know, having an awesome season, scoring the rock, you know, hovering around that 30-point mark, and was you know, averaging over 30 points for a long time this season. You know, down to 27.7 right now, but that's still nothing to scoff at.
Yep.
Been a beast on the boards, 9 boards, and then also one of the best 3-point shooters in the league, especially with the volume that it's, he shoots it at. And then obviously you've got Giannis there with the Bucks, who have really started to heat up now down the stretch of the middle of the season. And he's a absolute freak of nature. Obviously, you know, kind of comes with the name, goes with the territory. Yep. 31 points, 12 boards, 6 assists. And obviously keeping it efficient, not much of a jumper, but that's okay when you can run and dunk full court every single play.
Yes.
You know, these two are two of the top players in the NBA for sure. But we got Karl Anthony Towns in here, and I believe this is his first ever, if the, you know, he is elected to this, which I really do feel in the real NBA starters that get announced Thursday, that will be the case. This will be his first time as a starter in the All-Star game, yep. Following with his old teammate Andrew Wiggins. Yes. You know, Wiggins did it a lot quicker than him, obviously, though. But Townsy, you know, he deserves it. We said, you know, possibly he is the best player on the New York Knicks right now. You know, him and Jalen Brunson, obviously kind of a 1A, 1B dynamic duo there. But yep. Since going to the Big Apple, he has been unbelievable, having career years, you know, one of the best seasons he's had, both as a contributor statistically, but also in, you know, making sure that his team's actually winning games. 25 points, 14 fucking rebounds a game, yep. And almost a steal and a block per game. Getting it done on both ends of the court. One of the best shooting big men the game's ever seen. Really happy to see him elevate his game, especially at the Mecca.
Oh, yes, definitely. Big bodega, you know, making his presence mm-hmm. known.
Big purr.
Yeah, and you know what? I have no problem now giving him that accolade of, you know, one of the best, if not the best. I mean, I don't see how you could put him over Dirk, considering what Dirk did throughout his entire career. But, you know, he's
more versatile. Dirk was, I think, too. I don't think Pat's got that post fade. It isn't quite there. The midi.
No.
But the three-point shot is hard to beat.
The three-point shot is hard to beat. You know, 44.9% this year. It's crazy. Yeah. But, like,
unbelievable.
The fact that he's on a winning team now solidly. I know he was on a winning team last year and various winning teams in Minnesota. But now he's, like, on a true bona fide contender, like from the start of the season, and really you can see the difference he's made coming over to this team. I'm fine giving him all those accolades, that praise that, you know, I've kind of been hesitant to give him in the past because I haven't truly seen for an extended stretch that he can, you know, help lead a team, be a real contributor on a winning team. But, you know, like Wiggins, like you just said, when he went to Golden State and completely sort of changed people's opinions on him, helping take them all the way to the finals. You'd probably say he took them to the finals, but he certainly helped.
Finals MVP.
He was right in there.
I predicted that 3 years, but the second that he got traded to the Warriors, I said 2 years from now, they're going to win the title. He's going to be finals MVP. It almost happened. That would have been the greatest future bet of my whole fucking life.
Oh my God. That would have been, lots of money.
Plus 1 billion.
Yes. But like Kat is kind of doing a similar thing here. Like he's just been everything the Knicks could have wanted and more. And you mentioned the counting stats on the defensive end. Like he hasn't been that bad defensively. Like he's nobody's stopper at the five, obviously. But I think last year he showed, like, when he was part of the best defense in the league for a lot of the year on Minnesota. And then when he stood up Jokic in the post in the playoffs, like if you know how to use him properly, he's never going to fly through the air and block shots. But, you know, if you put him in right spots to succeed, I think he can be a fairly effective team defensive player. And, you know, the Knicks have been solid on that end. You know, their offense has been more their strength so far. But, I also want to see down the line how Kat plays with Mitchell Robinson when he eventually comes back, because, you know, Kat sort of playing that four or having that ability and that experience last year playing with Gobert, you know, shows just how versatile he's been. So, yeah, I mean, I can't sing his praises enough, which is honestly a crazy situation to be in. I've never thought of myself as a Cat guy, but
dog person.
Exactly. He's just been so impressive to me this year. 100%. I think he has been the best player on the Knicks. Like, I wouldn't say he's a better player just in a vacuum overall than Jalen Brunson. And, you know, when it comes down to the playoffs, I think Jalen Brunson will go back to sort of showing who he really is and will be ultimately more important. But I think so far through this regular season, it's been Kat that's made all the difference making the Knicks look pretty scary. It was a no-brainer for me. And like you mentioned, those other guys, I mean, what hasn't been said already about Tatum and Giannis? They're two of the best players in the NBA. We knew they were going to be there, but yeah, Kat. And it also gives me a lot of pleasure to slide Kat in there and bump number 21 out. That's great.
Yes. That might be the sweetest part of it all.
Oh, yeah.
And also, Karl Anthony Towns, big dog ball, big dog of the month.
Correct.
In December. So good to shout that out as well. Maybe gives him the edge over a lot of these other guys in the East front court.
Yep.
Moving on, though, to the backcourt starters for the East. Another one, Jordan, I thought was pretty easy. I know the voters are, they've kind of swung a little bit in the last returns that we've seen.
Yep.
But I'll let you start it off. Why don't you give me your first guard of the East. I feel like we're going to be aligned, but who knows? Crazier things have happened.
Well, I think we'll be aligned on one of them, Donovan Mitchell. Do you have him back there?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, so, had to. Yeah. I feel like he's the best player on, you know, the best team in the league, yes. At least best team in the East. You know, and I'm, when I say best team in the league, I'm talking
record
win percentage. Yeah. You know, I'm wise, but yeah, he had to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. That was another no-brainer for me. So, you know, once again, you know, you've got those four spots, I think, locked down. It's hard to argue anyone other than him in at least one of those spots because, yeah, like you said, best player on the best team through this first part of the season. He is clearly the sort of spiritual leader of that team in terms of like the guy with the most experience and the guy who commands the most respect, who's going to go and take the last shot.
Ever since he went there, right? He's the kind of the catalyst for change on the Cavs. Ever since he got there, they've always been a competitive squad.
Yep, 100%. And he's always been, I think, and I think he will continue to be, just because, you know, he's not the most flashy player. Like he has highlights and stuff, but you know, he's a little undersized for the position he plays. He's always been underrated. Like the impact that he has, right away in the league, he came in, to Utah and was a difference maker immediately, took them to the playoffs way sooner than anyone, you know, would have expected. And he was kind of leading that charge. So yeah, he deserves this 100%. And, you know, he's been fairly durable this year. He's been out there. I think he's been a big part of what's helped Darius Garland have a more successful year this year. Like he's been very pliable, playing, like I said, when we've talked about the Cavs, willing to play a little bit more off ball, take up more of that two guard role. He's competing on defense again, which was something we thought for a little bit he had kind of taken a step back at doing. But you know, he's the head of the snake of the best team in the league. So he's just got to be there. I don't want to hear anyone saying otherwise, and I don't think they would.
No, I believe he is the leading vote getter he's the second leading after one LaMelo, behind LaMelo return. Yeah. So again, he should get in there in real life. The guy I've got kind of next to him, I mean, if we're really breaking this down by position, Donovan, you know, he'd be the two. Mm-hmm. And this guy would be the one. I think he's having an awesome season. We were just singing the Knicks praises, and I mentioned him there. I got Jalen Brunson as the starting point guard here for the Eastern Conference.
Love it. I went a different way. He was one of the guys I was considering. I was considering, like, honestly, three guys and maybe even four I could have maybe roped in, but really it was just three. And he was my first guard out, so I've obviously got him on my bench here, which we'll reveal soon. But I went with Cade Cunningham.
Yeah. Okay. And I've got Cade in my team as well. For me, I went Jalen Brunson. You know, 26 points, 7 assists per game.
Yeah, it's been great.
Again, crazy volume, crazy usage. Obviously, those Tibbs teams. He's always going to ride the top dogs all season long. I believe right now it's like Mikhail, OG, and Josh Hart are like in the top three of the top 5 minutes played so far this season. It was the same thing last year. We'll probably continue to be as long as Tibbs is behind a bench.
Yep.
But yeah, I always do weigh it out heavily. I don't like to give teams multiple all-stars unless the team is good. Which might be, you know, showing a little bit of my picks and my reasoning a little bit later down the road with some of these other teams. But I do think that the Knicks have been one of the best teams in the league, and Brunson and Cat have played at high elite level basketball so far through the first half of the season. I think they both deserve the all-star love. And I decided to bump Brunson in there. And I think team success has a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
Cause he's got the stats, he's got the numbers, he's got the, you know, some of these accolades now starting to ramp up throughout his career. But you know, the team success has always been, if you go back and listen to any of these other all-star selections, I'm big in team success, rewarding the guys who are actually producing wins on the court. The stats might not tell the entire story, but you know, even then his stats are pretty good.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, it was definitely a no-brainer for me that he was in there. And like I said, I considered him on that starting spot. Just for whatever reason, like I think it's probably I'm punishing Jalen Brunson for being so good so much of, you know, his career, at least the last few years and last year in New York. Like he was my MVP pick coming into the year. I didn't expect on that Knicks team Cat to have such a you know, incredible impact like we just talked about. So I thought Jalen Brunson would have even more on his shoulders. But I thought, you know, that it would be a good team that he was leading. That's still all true. But, you know, he hasn't had at least to me, that crazy standout of a season. But that's because I'm basing his fucking counting stats on, you know, incredible years the last couple. Basically, since as soon as he put on that Knicks uniform, he's just been amazing. But yeah, no brainer all-star just in general for me. But yeah, I went with Cade, your hometown guy.
Yes, my boy.
Like, I can't understate how crazy it is, you know, that the Pistons have turned themselves around like this. And we just talked about them recently, you know, compared to their god awful team last year. Like, I can't give too much credit to these guys like Malik Beasley and Tim Hardaway Jr. and Tobias Harris. Yeah. Like, they're great. And like we said, they provide, you know, veteran presence. They've spaced the ball. They've actually got some shooters there so Cade can operate. But again, it all starts with Cade operating at the top of the key, running that pick and roll, getting into the teeth of the defense. He's averaging 24, 6.5 boards, 9.5 assists on fairly good efficiency from the field. 36, well, scraping just at 37 from three. I think that's good for him, like a guy who takes the amount of shots that he does and who has the ball in his hands, you know, the amount that he does. I just think he's been incredible, really coming to his own this year, having an absolute breakout season. And wanted to reward a guy who has just completely transformed the fortunes, of the team over the course of 1 year, to come in and you know, show that much improvement, and really being effective at leading a team. Like, he's undoubtedly the leader of this team at 23 years old. And that's, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. They're looking their fortunes now. It's like, oh shit, not only are we in the play-in hunt, which I think was kind of what they were looking to do this year, but you know, they could avoid the play-in altogether, hypothetically, if they play well enough down the stretch here, and it's all going to be on his shoulders. So yeah, just wanted to reward him. It was close between him and Brunson, but gave it to Cade.
Yeah. I love the pick. I got him in my reserves, and yeah, he was one of the guys I kind of debated, putting him in the starting five as well, in the Eastern Conference. I mean, every single year he's been in the league, he's upped his game. Yeah. He's gone up 2 points per game from last year. He's up 2 assists per game, and that's huge. Like, people don't measure, like, guys who are averaging, again, he's averaging 9.5 assists per game. That's elite playmaking ability. Like that's top of the league, creme de la creme, type 100%. Of ball movement there. And then he's also chipping in 6.5 rebounds per game. 7 triple doubles on the season. He's shooting 45 from the floor, 36 from three. Like, this guy is on an absolute heater right now. Maybe one of the top young guards in the entire NBA. And I think that, you know, if he was playing for a bigger market squad, you'd probably be hearing Cade Cunningham's name a whole lot more, a whole lot more talk about him being, you know, one of the future star centerpieces of this league. But I really do think that, you know, he will make the All-Star team this year. If he somehow doesn't, that would be criminal.
Yep.
But yeah, he is a freak of nature out there and definitely deserves his first All-Star nod here. And, seemingly coming into his own. I mean, again, when he was coming up in that draft, when he was the first overall pick, only a couple of years ago, people said he had that kind of LeBron-ish play style. He had the potential to be like a franchise cornerstone guy. And I think this season he's kind of proved that. So we'll see if the Pistons can stay above 500 like they've been. Potentially right now, as we're recording this, they're only a half game back from the Atlanta Hawks. Yep. They got a big win today on MLK Day. Happy MLK Day.
Yes, happy MLK.
Post MLK Day to everybody out there.
Great to have basketball on. Yeah, in the middle of the day, during the work day, just throw on Timberwolves Grizzlies, which came down to the wire. It was fun.
Mm-hmm. They had they asked Kristaps Porzingis on the Celtics broadcast about MLK Day, and you can tell he didn't really know what was. He was like, "Yep, it was cool to have a police escort and play on a holiday." He didn't say a word about MLK. Probably doesn't know who he is. Jaylen Brown will teach him. But moving on. So we've got one differential here on our Eastern Conference starters. With that being, I've got Jalen Brunson starting. Jordan, you've got Cade.
Yep.
But Donovan Mitchell, Kat, Giannis, and Tatum make up the rest of the Eastern Conference starting five. So you've got Brunson on your East reserves here, and I've got Cade on my reserve. So why don't you give me your other guard that you've got as a reserve here? And then we also, again, we've got the two backup guards, three backup front court members, and then we've got two wild card spots for each conference, just so everyone at home can kind of trail along with us.
So my other guard, this was I found decently tough. I've got literally one, two, three, four guys who I was sort of considering in this. One guy I'll explain later is kind of, you know, I always throw in a bit of a out of left field pick for these ones. So anyway, I will get to that down the line. But the guy I ended up going with, again, maybe a bit of a surprise. I'm surprising myself here a little bit. But I put Trae Young in there. Again, you know, the Hawks have been winning at a decent clip, at least for them. I know they've been the team that's just perennially always hovering around 500, no different this year. But they're in a fairly crowded group of teams here, you know, five through nine basically in the East. And so they've been solidly in that mix. And again, they've got a lot of great contributors. Like I looked at, basically was like, I want to give the Hawks someone. I think it's going to be Trae Young, but I did my due diligence. You know, Jalen Johnson has a decent case as well. Obviously he's been great for a lot of this year, but kind of like these other guards that we've been talking about, Trae Young is the clear head of the snake. Hit some big shots down the stretch in a game against Boston that went to overtime a couple nights ago. They went in there, and won in the Garden.
The only team to beat the Cavs and the Celtics. I believe that actually they beat the Cavs twice this season,
and I think they beat the Celtics twice too. I think back early in the season, Dyson Daniels, they without Trae Young, they went in and beat the Celtics. I'm pretty sure.
I might have it backwards. Then they're the only team to beat Boston twice and the Cavs this season. But either way, they always do kind of get up for those big games. They might not be up on the bottom for
they're going to lose to teams they shouldn't lose to. But yeah, I mean, they were the ones that
go to the death with the Wizards.
Yes, they were the ones that kept the, I think they've lost to, I think that's the other crazy part of the stat. I'm pretty sure they've lost to the Wizards like twice or at least once.
Yes, I think so.
If they've dropped games. So they're a confounding team. They kind of always have been. But I do think Trae Young has adjusted his game a lot this year and has been, you know, the guy who is far and away leading the league in assists. He's getting other guys involved. He's been, I think, more willing to defer and just play a more winning style of basketball. And, you know, the stats are always going to be there. He's not having the most crazy seasons like seasons he used to have where it was like 30 and 12 or whatever. But I am not going to ding Trae Young for having slightly less impressive individual stats and his team be overall better, because that's what everyone's been begging for him to do for years. So in the opposite way of that, I do want to reward him for just sort of evolving his game a little bit and still being that guy that the Hawks go to at the end of games. Still, obviously, a super weak link defensively, but they've got a lot of really talented. I mean, that was the craziest part of that Celtics game going down the stretch. They've got a bunch with Daniels and Johnson out there and these other guys that they got, Okongwu. They've got DeAndre Hunter. Oh yeah, incredible season. They've got a lot of great defenders now that they can surround Trae Young with. So it's not as glaring of a weakness this year. But yeah, he still takes them home offensively. So I've got Trae Young in there, as surprising as that may sound.
And it's okay. They don't play defense in the All-Star game anyways. That's true. No matter what format Adam Silver wants to throw at us. I mean, maybe this is even more surprising for you than Jordan. I've also got Trae Young as my other East Reserve guard. So, like you said, I think it's hard to leave him off there. I mean, the Hawks, again, they've cooled off a little bit. But, I mean, we were talking about them earlier in the season as like a sneaky dark horse contender here in the Eastern Conference. Yep. You mentioned the assist numbers obviously look really great on paper, or just under 12 per game right now for Trae Young. But again, it really does show, like you said, he takes that little bit of a drop in points. Like 23 points per game is still elite. Like that's awesome scoring from your top player. I know that we kind of said, you know, scoring's inflated. Scoring 20 used to mean something, not anymore.
Yes.
But even in that, of guys who have actually been playing this season, he's got five other players on his team. Sorry, pardon me. Six players on this team, on this roster, averaging double figures alongside him. So that just goes to show how much he's impacting the game, how much he is finding every single guy on the court. It's not like he's just got one dude that he's paired up with in a pick and roll and he's just feeding off assists John Stockton style. Yep. He is getting there. He knows how to make the most of all of his teammates out there. And I think it's really shown both in the Hawks' success as well as his own individual success this season. So as a guy who once left Trae Young off of his entire All-Star team when he was a starter way back when he was averaging like 29 points per game, I'm more than happy to have him on my All-Star reserve this year. That brings us now to the All-Star front court reserves. And I might as well get this one out of the way, because this one is probably the most crazy one. I think there's a chance that, you know, we might be linked up on this one, but I kind of want to get him out of the way early here because he's a teammate of Trae Young. I've got Jalen Johnson as one of my all-stars as well this season.
That is surprising.
I've been singing this guy's praises for over a year now. I mean, his game is fucking phenomenal. I think that he's still super, super underrated in the league, averaging just under 20 points per game, 10 rebounds per game, and 5 assists as he still shoots 50% from the floor. The three-point percentage has gone down a little bit, but don't get it twisted. He is still an elite stroker from deep. Mm-hmm. Hey, yo. I really do think that he does deserve the consideration. Yep. I don't think that he'll probably get in this season, but again, with some of these other guys who weren't able to qualify based on my games played metric here, yep. Criteria rather. Like again, I think probably Banchero or Franz Wagner would have been able to take his spot had they been healthy, but unfortunately that's not the case. And again, two All-Stars for the Hawks. Do I really want to do that? Not really, but they are still one of those few squads in the Eastern Conference that have held down a 500 record throughout the season. So I'm actually okay with it. Again, I do think that his play deserves All-Star consideration, whether he will get it or not. This from the real voters. I hope he does. I've got Jalen Johnson in there as one of my front court members coming off the bench.
Yeah, I love it. I went into it thinking, as I said, kind of said to myself, okay, the Hawks feel like they need an All-Star, and kind of expected to find holes in Trae Young's case and move myself over to Jalen Johnson. I didn't consider giving them two. For me, it was either going to be one or the other, but the argument for Jalen Johnson, I'm totally here for, because again, I think he's been as much of a factor as Trae Young almost in turning this team into a legit, squad compared to, the last few years where they've just been.
I think he's the first player that Trae Young's ever trusted.
Well, yes. And the first guy you would say like, wow, this is a great young piece that can play both sides of the ball, that has size and plays well alongside Trae, who even like, if I'm team building for the Hawks, like, I'm even fine if I decide down the line I want to move off Trae Young, because I've got this great young wing, which everyone wants a great two-way wing that can do a lot of different things. Like that's the main building block that you want. He's been super impressive this year. I can't argue with anyone saying he sort of deserves a spot. Like obviously, the raw stats could be a little bit better off the board if you're across the board, I should say, if you're comparing him to guys like Tatum or Giannis or some of these, incredible, 1A type guys on other teams. But again, you got to take it in context that he is sort of that second in command to Trae Young. So he's not going to get as many shots as he would if he was sort of, leading his own team. He's not going to get the same usage. And I think if he was put in that position, whether it's, the Hawks, if they eventually do move off of Trae, or if he somehow goes somewhere else, like, I think you could see a real explosion for him if he sort of took his lid off, raised the ceiling. He's just good at everything. Like, he doesn't have many weaknesses at all. Total gamer. And I love it. He didn't make my team this year, but it did kind of pain me to leave him off. So I'm glad you put him in there, Matt.
Well, fair enough, though. Again, like I said, it was... I wasn't sure I wanted to do two Hawks, but honestly,
sometimes,
like, when it came to the East bench, I was kind of, willing to take some Jesus liberties because, it gets a little spotty down the line. And I was like, you know what? If they're a top six team in the East, fuck it.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, I'm not mad at it. The guy I picked in that spot, again, this is crazy timing because we just recently talked about how overall not great he's been, but I thought the Pacers deserved an All-Star, so I got Pascal in there as one of my spots. Because again, I know he's I hate saying this again. Like you said, he's always
we love you, Pascal.
We love you, Pascal. Always going to have a place forever in our heart. I wouldn't even be opposed necessarily to maybe a jersey retirement down the line. That's another conversation. A great Raptor, one of the best ever.
No statue.
No, probably not a statue. All that being said, again, I know he's as a playoff performer, he's very easy to game plan against. I've said that for years. Everyone knows the spin move is fucking coming. He's going to disappoint you. He's going to disappoint you a lot of the time. But 20 points this year, 7.5 boards, 3.5 assists, and shooting, surprisingly, over 40% from 40.5, over 50% from the field. That's really good efficiency for a guy like Pascal.
Awesome defender too.
Yeah, especially when, you know, he's turned on and but you know, when he's ready to go, and especially as, you know, one of the few guys on the perimeter and inside that can defend well on this team, he's super important on that side of the ball as well. You know, Tyrese having another down year, at least in terms of the overall stats, and, you know, one game he can look more like himself, but as we've said many times this year, he'll come out and have 2 points or fucking 0 points. Pascal is at least consistent. He's always going to get you, you know, between, you know, 15 and 30, you know, on any given night. You know, rebound the ball.
It's true.
He's always going to be there. You know,
compared to his running mate, I mean, you take that kind of consistency.
100%, 100%. And when it comes to the playoffs, it's a different story. Like, I don't have too much faith in a Pascal and Tyrese Haliburton led Pacers team as currently constructed, but. Mm-hmm. When it comes to the regular season, you know, the Pacers, they are there in fifth right now, hovering right below the Bucks in fourth. I wanted to reward them with someone, and Pascal's who I came out with. Doesn't feel great, but hey, like I said, always going to be a fan of his from afar. So another All-Star nod, I wouldn't be mad at it.
So again, we're aligned there. He's like my wild card, reserve forward. And I did have someone else there originally, but, you know, we'll go through the other forwards as well before we get to that all. But I didn't have him on my original one. I actually changed it up today before we started recording. I did my last little edits and everything. And I didn't have Siakam on there, but I do think that the Pacers deserve at least one All-Star.
Yep.
Again, I mean, if I gave the fucking Hawks two, they deserve one. And like you said, the Tyrese, you've had a decent year. The numbers aren't horrible by any means. And I do kind of think that he does get that negative effect of he was so good a year ago that, you know, in comparison, we're kind of like, well, this is a bad. Like, he was one of the better ones. Did he start last year?
Oh, fuck. He might have, because that was right around when he was on fire. He might have. He definitely made it. He was
averaging like 24 and 12 or something insane at that time. And then, you know, obviously the poor shooting just goes haywire. And, you know, again, that this injury. It's been a little bit more of the same. So, like, like you said, the inconsistency has just been too much for me to say, you know what, you are the guy. I think most people, like, I know Tyrese is the flashy ball handler, but I think most real ball knowers know that Siakam is actually the best player on the Pacers. So
at least right now,
it was easier. Yes. Currently, as it is, this season. I'll take Spicy P over Tyrese, and again, I mean, it still feels good because I will, like you said in the lead in, like, I'll always have a soft spot for Siakam. Oh, yeah. So happy to give him another All Star appearance. Crazy, by the end of his career, he'll have a championship ring, at least one. You know, he'll have a really actually probably good career averages, probably hovering around 20 points, like 8 boards, some all-star appearances, was a starter, for God's sake,
most
one year.
Most improved, like, two-time All-NBA.
Yeah, most improved player. I mean, who knows, Hall of Fame consideration? I don't know. We'll see. Maybe. We'll be like 70 years old and they'll put him in there.
Let me see if I can quickly find what it is on Basketball Reference, because they give you the percentage, right?
Oh, the probability. Like, it's got, like, I actually do think, like, there's going to be a conversation one day, because he's going to keep, like, his points, his total accolades, like, individually aren't going to be insane, but I do think that, like, you know, he's going to have enough awards, he's going to have enough, like, notoriety that, you know, you could argue, like, not a first ballot, but I think one of these days, the Siakam to the Hall of Fame might be a discussion to have.
Hold on. I want you to guess what his Hall of Fame probability is, because this is hilarious.
It's going to be like 9.8%.
0.8%. I don't know how that's possible.
No
the guy's,
way.
The guy's
Come
an,
on.
The guy's been an all... If you're all NBA and an all-star multiple times, which he is, and a champion, that's got to get you at least 5%, 10%, I would think.
Yeah, I would think.
That is crazy to me, but yeah, 0.8% is what the fucking algorithm thinks.
I think he's at least 1% chance. At least a 1% chance.
Give him one.
Well, give him a one.
Yeah. That's fucking crazy, hell. But we'll see. We'll see where he ends up.
Well, moving on to the other members of the Eastern Conference front court reserves here. We were talking a lot about guys who are, you know, teammates of other players here. So we might as well shout them out. I think this one you're going to have as well. Right up there with Jason Tatum as, you know, top dogs there with the Celtics. got Jaylen Brown in there, the reigning finals MVP, Eastern Conference finals MVP, which isn't really a thing. but yeah, Jaylen Brown. Also, again, once again, having quietly like a really, really good season. I believe around 23 points per game right now on the season. Always hammering the boards. Probably you could still make the argument the best defender on this team, which is saying something, along with Derek White and Jrue Holiday on that roster. Yep. The 3-point shots cooled off a little bit.
Yeah, that's his one kind of weakness.
The second half of the season, but I mean, when he gets hot though, like some games he'll hit one, some games he'll hit seven. Like he is a streaky shooter, but when he's on, he's on.
Yep.
And even when he's not, a freak athlete, gets to the rim. Gets it done. Again, him and Jason Tatum have figured out to be how to work together and be like one of the best dynamic duos across the NBA. And again, they won a chip to prove it. So I think it was a no-brainer to throw our guy Jaylen Brown in there as an off the bench reserve here in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel the same way talking about him as I do about Giannis and Tatum. Like it's the same. Yeah. These guys are consistent. They are stars in this league. Jaylen Brown has that. Hardware now to back it up. Finals MVP. I think ultimately that was deserved. I mean, it wasn't the most clear cut case since Jason Tatum's obviously the better player overall. He went out there, played both sides of the ball in that final series and sort of brought it home. So I think that was the right pick. He more than deserving All Star, 100%. It really, until someone knocks him off, he's going to be there. I think it's just to be seen down the line, if ever, in another situation, if Embiid's out of the picture and maybe Kat's out of the picture for some reason, can he sneak on there in that front court starting group with his teammate, Tatum and Giannis? That's kind of the next sort of level up that he may never reach, but he's firmly in this reserve group now. Until he falls off, he's just been that good. Tell me your last guy. I think we're going to be aligned here.
I want
too.
You to tell
you want?
Yeah, I think so.
Another teammate. I went with Evan Mobley.
Easy pick.
Yeah, like you could obviously consider Jared Allen having a great season as well, but overall, you look at the stats. Evan Mobley is just better almost everywhere across the board. Jared Allen's a slightly better rebounder.
I think even if you watch it, he is the better player across the board. Again, versatile. Exactly what you said. Little bit better of a rebounder, but even then you could argue it. I think Jared Allen might just have a little bit more bounce.
Yeah, exactly. The lift that he's provided from three this year has been amazing. Let me just double check here, because I'm pretty sure he too, another guy who's surprisingly above
40%. Yeah, from three.
42%, 57% overall from the field. Just crazy efficiency for a guy who, the last couple of years, it's like, oh, he's great. He's great sort of defensively and everything, but is he going to put it together offensively? It's happened this year. Yep. And that's a huge part of why the Cavs are the best team in the league so far this year. So yeah, that was solidly a no brainer for me in that spot. And obviously you got to give the Cavs two, maybe at least two.
Yeah.
We'll see.
We'll get into that too. We'll see who we have as our wild card selections here. I mean, I already gave one of mine up, but we'll see who you got there.
Pascal,
But I also think Mobley is a perfect guy to throw in there, so that way you can also reward some defense. Doesn't quite show on his stats. I mean, they're still solid, almost a steal a game, 1.5 blocks. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he is one of the best rim protectors in the game. Very versatile. I think when you think of big men who can actually go out on the perimeter and hold their own on a mismatch, I think Mobley is, if not the best, one of the best perimeter big men defensively in the league. Yep. And again, that with that length, he's got underrated lateral movement in this league. Like I said, you remember, like I again, pretty happy with Scotty. I mean, it goes back and forth depending on the day. But way back,
we're talking about Evan Mobley today.
I was smashing my table saying at the draft, watching that wing place around the corner from my house, they better. Well, one, I wanted to trade up to get Mobley.
Yes.
And then once he was off the board, then I wanted Jalen Suggs. So that was a bad call. But I still wish they traded up and got Mobley. I'll say it right now. I do think that he is the better player, and definitely has the argument as the best player in that draft class between Scottie, him, and Cade. I mean, Franz Wagner.
It's a good draft class.
The same
class. I think it's
going
to go down as quite a good draft class, at least at the very top. Yeah. 100%. He's you think back on that night, what could have been. But hey, we snuck into that fourth spot. I'm still happy with Scotty overall. Don't get me wrong. Rookie of the year, been good. But
Mobley, most improved for whatever reason.
Yes. But you know, I have to rewire my brain because that fucking rookie of the year race was kind of competitive between Scotty and Evan Mobley. It's kind of like I was rooting against Evan Mobley for a bit, but I got to admit, he's turned into an awesome player, deserving All-Star 100%.
So off the bench here for our Eastern Conference All-Stars, I've got Cade, Trey, Evan Mobley, Jalen Johnson, Jaylen Brown, Flegel. You've got Jalen Brunson, Trey Young, Mobley, Jaylen Brown, and then Siakam.
Yes, correct. Correct.
All right. And that leaves us with our wild cards. I've already given up my wild card forward. I have Siakam in there. And I like to go one forward, one guard.
So do I.
As that extra 11 and 12. So, Jordan, why don't you give us your other forward that you've got thrown in there? Because, I'm interested to hear who you've got because I don't have I feel like we're pretty aligned on most of these things. So you've got someone who I have off my team completely.
Well, guess what? I wanted to stick to the I always like to do one backcourt, one frontcourt. I couldn't fucking do it for the wild cards. Like Jalen Johnson, he's who you have in there as that sort of final spot of the group. I considered him, but again, and you know, it would have been great. It would have been a very, very
for the record. I actually do have him over Siakam.
Yes. I just mean forwards making the team. He was kind of the guy I would have picked if I did that. But long-winded way of saying I couldn't get there with any forward. Like with the Franz injury plus the Paolo injury, I'm like, look, there. If I put in a forward here in one of these spots, I'm going to be leaving off what I feel is like a more deserving guard.
Fair.
My first wild card, I'll give you my guard because they're both guards, but I'll give you my first spot. I'm trying to be equitable here, trying to make sure teams that with decent records get all-stars as crazy as it may sound. I think Tyler Hero deserves to be an all-star this year. He's had a sneaky good season.
I don't hate it, man. I don't hate it. Like 22-5-5 without Jimmy Butler in there, you could argue with Bam's down year that he has been the best player on this team. I think sneakily having one of the better offensive seasons, scoring the rock this year. I really like the pick, honestly. I did consider him, but I didn't have the balls to do it.
Yeah, well, it's 24 points even per game this year. 5.7 boards, which is actually shocking to me that he's rebounding the ball that much. 5 assists, all well elevated from sort of his career averages. 47.8% from the field, which is actually quite impressive for a guy who's got the ball in his hands all the time. Again, 40% from three and 86% from the free throw line. He's sort of in that 50-40-90 kind of conversation hovering around those averages there, which again, for Tyler Hero with a guy with that much pressure, like you said, with Jimmy and Butler in and out of the lineup and fucking sent home, Bam having a god-awful year, at least from a stats perspective, and no one else really to write home about on this Heat team, which is still above 500 with all that shit. I really wanted to give it to someone. And for me, when I dug into it, Tyler Hero was really the only choice for me. So, you know, in other years, I would have maybe put, other guys on more winning teams, like maybe given, Dame a nod or something like that. One of these other guards.
I
wanted to be equitable here, give the Heat somebody. So I went with Tyler
Hero. I love it, man. And he's played a boatload of games, 41 games played. He's played. Yeah, he's played every single game for the Heat this season. Yep. So, like you said, availability it matters. I really like it. I did consider him. I didn't put him in. And you know what? He's kind of like a guard forward. He plays a little bit of a small three sometimes. Him and Duncan Robinson make up a bit of a honky wing duo there in the Miami back.
And Kevin Love. He's there.
Yes, and Kevin Love. He's kicking around somewhere, the unk. Yep. I do like the nod. I'm happy that you gave it to him because it's also fun to see guys get first time All Stars. Yeah. Switch it up a little bit. It's not the same guys every year. That's what makes it a lot more fun.
Yep, 100%. So Matt, who you got? Give me your guard because then I'll give you my my weird pick that I've been saving here.
Oh, okay. So that Tyler Hero's not even your weird.
No,
one. Okay,
no, he's not.
my other guard that I got thrown in here and. I kind of went back and forth. I didn't really want to include him, honestly. I don't know. I loved him for years. I thought that, one of the best guards in the league. I still think that, he's historically is one of the best guards. The league scene and, my lifetime.
Yep.
And his stats are still awesome. His team is one of the best in the Eastern Conference. So I felt, you know what, like, again, I may as well reward guys who are playing at a high level on good teams. Yep. So I put Damian Lillard in there. 25 points per game, 7 assists, 4 boards.
He's
still shooting.
He's
like, yeah, just below 30, just below 40% from three. He's over the 32 games. He's played 34. So I mean, like, he's had an awesome season. It's just been very quiet. You know what I mean? Like, I do think he's kind of got a little bit of Tyrese Halliburton in him. Not to the same degree by any means. Like, you know, you'll never see Damian Lillard scoring fucking 6 points in a game. But I mean, there are games where he just doesn't kind of shine on the court the way he used to when he was with the Trailblazers. But even behind Giannis, he is still putting up awesome numbers. You know, he is a huge part of this team and their kind of success that has continued on this year. I think he deserves it. You know, another guy, like we said, like, you know, I said Siakam jokingly, you know, All-Star Conference or All-Star Hall of Fame consideration down the line. I mean, Damian Lillard will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, whether he ever wins a ring or not. So
top 75.
I had to throw him in there. I mean, that's still, I think, you could debate. But he one of the best to ever do it and still, you know, doing it well in 2025. So Damian Lillard in there as my wild card.
Well, I just recently watched him in person in that Bucks game when they came in Toronto. Sure, he was fucking awesome. I
watched him play a lot of years ago when he was still with the Blazers.
Yeah, and we've got
the Raptors killed them. Jonas hit like 4 threes. It was crazy. Go.
We've got a very diehard Blazers fan that listens to this podcast. I know for a fact.
I hope they still listen.
Yeah. at one point we did. You know, the crazy playoff moments, even just, you know, Dame's two most famous buzzer beaters are like all-time iconic shots. The one against Houston where he was clapping for the ball and hit that shot to win that series, and then the wave goodbye to Westbrook and Paul George in that series against the Thunder. Just all-time shit. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, he's obviously a much diminished guy, but I do think, you know, when you're like, oh yeah, Dame, he's just been over there in Milwaukee. They haven't been that impressive. You look at his stats, it's like, no, he's still really, really good. So that actually leads into my guy. So like I said, my picks, I just couldn't get there as much as I wanted to stick with my own artificial rule of having my wild card be one guard, one forward. It was just too much guard talent compared to what was left for the forwards. And again, look, this sounds weird. I wanted Orlando to have someone, so I have half jokingly put Jalen Suggs on my All-Star team. He is not a deserving All-Star anyway.
A guy I kind of looked at.
he's shooting 31% from three and 41% from the field, only averaging 16 points. But I want to bring attention to his defensive stats, which are 1.5 steal per game and 1 whole block per game for a short guy. That's incredible. Those are career highs in both of those stats. Taking on more of an offensive responsibility than he ever has this year. He barely cleared my 30 games mark. He's at 34 games this year. I know he's dealt with a little bit of injury concerns himself. And if you go back, you know, the 3-point shooting is bad this year, but last year, on 5 attempts per game, he was at 39%. So, you know, if he can, through the back half of this year, sort of reclaim that, you know, designation as a decent 3-point shooter, then, you know, this pick might make a little bit more sense. But hey, again, this is all about equity. The Magic have been, you know, an incredible team, fought through so much injury adversity. Obviously, in a normal year, you'd have either Franz or Paolo, maybe even both would get consideration if they played enough
games. I probably would have put both of them in.
Yeah, but... So this is my kind of weird off the board pick, Suggs. My more realistic pick though is Dame. He's who I probably would have went with, but officially I'll put Suggs and Dame in brackets for all those reasons that you laid out there.
Well, an interesting pick there, Jordan. Yeah, I don't think I ever seriously considered him. Like when I saw the Magic, I was like, maybe they do deserve one. But yeah, I don't know. I don't think I could get quite there. I'm there with Hero. I don't think I could quite get there with Suggs. If he gets in there, I'll be shocked.
Oh my
God. What's his Hall of Fame probability? I don't know. but moving on, Western Conference. I might as well grab into one. I had one for the East. I'll have one for the West.
Hold on, Matt. What is that? That better be a Coke because I seem to remember a resolution from you, Matt.
The Miami Heat. They broke me.
Yeah, true.
I said to keep the band together, and if they can't do it, I can't fucking either. The band of me and Bud Heavies will stay together.
Hey, at least you made it till the third week of January, man.
Yeah, let's say that. We'll take it. I'm exercising, man.
I'm giving you a pass because I think today is technically nice. Blue Monday, the most depressing day of the year. That's what they say. So you know, whatever gets you through.
What the hell, man? That's on Martin Luther King Day.
Yeah, that's got to be a coincidence. Yeah,
I'm having one for MLK. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Shout out the Reverend.
Fuck Donald Trump.
Yeah, fuck you.
Moving on. Western Conference All Stars. Get into it. I think this one, the Western Conference, I think there's probably two locks here. And the rest, I think, are debatable. I think we could have a lot of different guys here. The West was a lot harder, I think, for me overall to finalize than it was the East.
Because it's more like you're leaving guys off in the West, whereas you're searching for guys in the East. You're like scrabbling.
Yes.
Scrabbling. I fucking hate Scrabble.
No, 100%. I love Scrabble. I there were still some guys here who I even looking at it, I'm like, do I really want to have done this? But you know what? I'm sticking with it. I've got it written down. So it'll be, but Jordan, the two guys who I feel like have to be a lock for both of us.
Yep.
It's SGA as a lead guard here in the Western Conference backcourt, and it's Nikola Jokic in the frontcourt.
Yeah, and I honestly don't even think we need to get too much into either of them and their resumes. Like, Jokic cementing himself as one of the best big men ever, and SGA, like I declared officially a couple weeks ago, and I'm the leading voice on this, best Canadian to ever play in the NBA. Steve Nash, I know you're still in that convo, but my God, SGA... we haven't seen this kind of domination from a guard out of Canada ever, even compared to Steve Nash's best seasons. Like the scoring ability and playmaking ability. You know, we just talked about him at length in our most recent episode, I think, when they absolutely dominated the Cavs, league best Cavs at home when they weren't fully healthy and the Cavs were. He dropped 40 in three quarters. What else can you say?
Well, and I think, you know, you're saying he's the best Canadian player ever. I think that I'm fully on board with that as well. I mean, you could make the argument, and I think a lot of people are starting to kind of consider it as well. Like, is he the best guard in the NBA right now, flat out? Like, I would say
absolutely.
Yeah, if he's not the best, he's top two. I think right now this season he is easily. I mean, we've said it. He's the MVP right now, in our opinion. And you know, I think Friday maybe we'll do some mid-season awards. So apologies for everybody who that's going to be a spoiler for you. But I mean, it's really hard to argue. I mean, the stats are insane. The Thunder are amazing. And again, they that's a team that underratedly has had so much injury troubles. And if they don't have a guy like SGA there to just carry them and be consistent every single night, like he's never taken a night off. He's never having a bad game. 41 games again played. Like he's been a monster. 31-6-5. You know, you can't sing this guy's praises enough. And then obviously for Denver, you end up having Jokic there, who you know I think a lot of people at this point have all come to agreement that he is the best player of all time planet currently. Right now. You know, yes. I mean, hey, yeah, but yeah, that makes sense. But he's also still absolute fucking monster season, carrying this Nuggets team to a top four spot right now in the Western Conference. 30 points, 9 assists, pretty much. It's 9.9. Let's give him 10. It's averaging a fucking triple double as a center right now.
Yep.
And 13 boards on 56 from the floor, 47% from three, that's and insane. 80 from the free throw line. Like, and then I'm not even done there, Jordan. If you want to bring in a couple defensive stats, he's also averaging 1.8 steals per game and a half block. But I mean, this is like those are absolutely bonkers,
video game
bonkers numbers. Like a guy that's won the MVP three times, you should kind of get used to the stats he puts up. Yep. I'm still bewildered by the shit that Jokic does.
Yeah, and the ironic thing is how bad his fucking supporting cast has been, other than Russell Westbrook, by the way.
Hey, Murray's heating up, but Westbrook's actually been good.
Yes, luckily Murray's showing signs of life. You get Aaron Gordon sort of back more recently as well. So, you know, they're looking much better more recently, but the irony of, you know, the fact that the, generally speaking, his supporting cast has fallen off so much might be what's kept him in the MVP debate at all. You know, with a better team, he would not need to score as much as he has this year, but you know, that's where we are. And as much as I think SGA is clearly the favorite right now, Jokic is not far behind him. And you can make the argument that he's still more valuable to his team than SGA is, who's got a pretty decent squad around him. as everyone knows. So those two far and away, the easy locks out there in the West.
Well, let's move on then to who's paired here next to SGA in the Western Conference. Jordan, I'll drop mine on you.
I think I know who yours is going to be, but I'm not sure.
I think for people who listen to the podcast, you probably know who I've got. Again, if it wasn't for, injuries to a lot of other key players across the Western Conference, especially in the backcourt, I probably would have put somebody else in here. But because of all of that, I had to put him in here. One of my favorite players in the league, he's having an awesome season. His team has definitely been a little bit lackluster, but I had to throw him in here. He's played 42 games. He's been resilient. He's averaging 26 points, almost 6 rebounds per game, 42% from 3 on crazy volume. I got Anthony Edwards in there as the starting shooting guard on my Western Conference All-Star team.
Yep, I got him there too. There was him and one other guy that I'll get to in my bench that I was considering. Again,
yep.
Luka not in the running for this. He would have easily been that second guard for me if you look at his stats. Like they're still
even Jaw.
Yeah, yeah.
I think 100%. I would have probably taken over him on one of the best teams in the league.
Good point. Yes, yes. Both guys again who didn't meet my 30 game criteria. It was. Ultimately, I think it was a fairly easy choice when I really sort of weighed the two options that I had. He's one of the most exciting guys. I was going to say another great All-Star game player. The All-Star game has become something despicable that, I'm sure neither of us even want to talk about. But theoretically, Ant is, a great guy to have in an All-Star game with how athletic and exciting he is. For me, all the reasons you said, despite how shaky the Timberwolves have looked, I was easy enough putting Ant in there.
Well, it was crazy that I put Julius Randle as a starter in my Western Conference frontcourt. No. Moving on to that. The next two guys, that paired next to Jokic, I do think there's a lot of debate. The Western Conference frontcourt hasn't really been the strongest in the last little while. No disrespect to my GOAT, but, I mean, Andrew Wiggins was, an actual, no-brainer starter year.
He was.
It's crazy to think that. He's only ever going to have one All-Star appearance, and it was, clearly he should have been the starter that year. That's saying something. This is again a guy, the first one I'm going to name off here, Jordan, that I believe it was last year I left off my All-Star team completely.
Ooh.
In the Western Conference.
Ooh.
But then I put him in my all NBA to make up for it. And I think this year I'm going to have to just put him in the All-Star starting five here in the front court. I got LeBron James. I got the GOAT. I got the King.
Wow, man.
I think that he still deserves it, man. 24 points per game, 9 assists, 7 boards. He's been shooting the 3 ball really effectively this year, 40% from deep, still 51% from the floor. The Lakers are, again, they're up there. They're competitive. I don't think I would say they're contenders, but, they're still well above in that top 6. They've been hot so far in the year, so I think they deserve having LeBron in there, and I think he's good enough to be a starter. So I'm more than happy to have him in there. He's going to be an All-Star starter regardless. In real life. So I thought, fuck it, why not? I'm happy to put LeBron in there.
Yeah, 100%. He's definitely a guy I considered. I don't have him on my forwards, but again, I've got him there on my bench in one of my forward spots. Or I don't have him as one of my starters, I should say.
Yep.
You look at his fucking stats. They still. They blow my mind. I can't believe that this guy's 40 years old averaging what he's averaging.
Oldest player in the league.
Well, obviously, he doesn't really defend anymore. He just kind of stands around and points, which is a problem if you want to play winning basketball. But offensively, the fact that he's at, for his career, it's so funny that his career still is 27, 7.5 boards, 7.5 assists. That is just the mm-hmm. classic LeBron stat line. Those are his exact averages and just barely over 50% from the field. But he's at 7.5 rebounds this year, 9 assists this year. The 40% from three is just insane. And still 24 points per game.
He shot 41 from three last year.
Yeah. Yeah. The last couple of years he's been, that's a strength he's sort of improved on. He's always been, as much as I hate to admit it, sort of underrated efficiency wise from three, when you look at mm-hmm. his totals, as he's matured as a player, I still don't think it's any sort of weapon for him. Uh, but you know, he takes smart ones and he makes enough of them. And the fact, the pure fact that he's still in the league producing at this fucking level, and, you know, getting the all-star votes that he gets, getting even like, you know, that Christmas Day game that went down to the wire, you know, between him and Steph. Yep. And he was a big part of that. Like that, even like taking into account how important he was to the Team USA winning a gold medal this fucking summer, and winning mm-hmm. the MVP of that tournament. It's just, you know, it's unbelievable what this guy is still doing. So yeah, you can't leave him off. You just can't. I'm not mad at the starter nod there. I couldn't quite get there with him just because, you know, the aforementioned defensive struggles and mm-hmm. everything. There's a guy I think
should have been Bronny.
Yeah, well, there's a guy I think deserves it slightly over him. Who I'll get to next. But yeah, he's definitely a no brainer all star, which is just insane for a 40-year-old to be saying that.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, you compare it to when Kobe and Dirk, they had to have like the honorary spots put in. Or no, it was, pardon me, maybe
Wade
it was,
and Dirk.
It was Dwayne Wade, yeah. But Kobe got in the one, his last year he got in, and he was a starter. That was when it was 100% fan vote. So
his team close to winning. It was a terrible team.
No. And I think that might have even been the same year that Zaza nearly made it in.
Yeah, I think so.
Because all the Georgian voters were going fucking crazy, which still to this day would have been hilarious. Yes. If he was a fucking all-star starter 1 year. But George, so yeah, give me one of your front court guys and see if one of your last two aligns with my final spot here.
All right, so I went with Kevin Durant, you know, another sort of legend of the game, as one of these two. I know the Suns haven't been great, but again, he's another guy where you look at the stats and they're just still great, like 27.5 per game. Six and a half boards. Assists are a little down from his career average, just over four. But decent efficiency as well. I mean, Kevin Durant still doing Kevin Durant things. He just barely edged out. I think he's the closest to my cutoff of 30 games, and he would actually fall under your 32 game cutoff because he's at 31.
Yeah, but I think they're playing tonight, and they play one more Wednesday. So looking at him, I was like, you know what? If you're going to be playing that, I'll still consider you.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
But he was one of the only guys who fell into that kind of category.
Right. Yeah.
Of guys I looked at.
Yeah, and so you know, you look at their last five games that Kevin Durant has played, they've won four of them. They took a loss to Atlanta, but they beat up on some bad to decent teams, you know, like Detroit and Washington and Charlotte. But Kevin Durant, you know, 36, mm-hmm. 23, 31, 27, 25. He's still a consistent, you know, the consistent go-to scorer for this team when he's out there on the floor, a total sort of release valve who can fit in any situation. And the one sort of major thing that I hold Kevin Durant, that sort of edge over LeBron is defense. Like Kevin Durant is still an effective defender at this point, both, you know, on the interior and even on the perimeter for the Suns team that is really lacking in that area. So I was kind of, it was a toss up between both of those guys, but because of that, mostly I gave it to KD. And like, if you look at the standings, the Lakers are, you know, above the Suns somewhat significantly, but they're actually only separated by two games. So it's, you know, mm-hmm. it's a pretty big jumble. Things can change. So I didn't want to hold the record against Kevin Durant too much, you know, when he's still in that mix. So, you know, I don't think he's sort of the most deserving compared to other Kevin Durant series or seasons, I should say, in the past, but I still think he's got it. So I went with him.
Yeah. I was looking at KD, one of the best players to ever grace the court in the NBA. The stats are always great. The defense continues to get even better as he gets older and kind of matures his game, but the scoring just seems to never go down. Still one of the best players in the NBA, no doubt. But maybe he's this year's LeBron for me. He'll be all NBA at the end of the season. I don't have him on my All-Star team at all, Jordan.
That's crazy. But hey, I honestly think there's enough. Like there's way more sort of reason to leave him off. The fact that he's on the West, like there's a lot of guys that you can make a case for. So I'm surprised, but I'm not that surprised because yeah, there's plenty of other guys who you could go to here.
Yeah, I didn't put him on. I do think that, again, like the Suns have kind of made up some ground, whereas the Lakers have given up some. Like if you're just comparing LeBron, KD, totally in this one, like head to head, how they performed this season. Like yeah, it's not crazy, but at one point, like the Suns were, I think, like five or six games below 500. Like it hasn't been like a dominating season or even even a good season, I wouldn't say. And I don't want to, you know, show too much yet. But I also couldn't see myself giving the Suns two All-Stars. So I think that might give it away, but you know, we'll talk about that later.
You got Nurkic as an All-Star. I love it, man.
Yes, 100%, man. They're resting.
Or it could be Grayson Allen. That's the only other guy I can.
Yes. I need a white boy. I don't think. I mean, I guess we got Jokic, but he's a Euro white boy.
Doesn't count.
But yeah, I had to leave KD off. Maybe it's just because my fantasy basketball team isn't doing that well. Even though I think we should be a lot better, and he's one of my top guys. So I did leave KD off. It pains me to do it, but like again, when at my heart, I always think of him as OKC, and then I'm like, oh wait, but then you were a hoe and went to Golden State. So actually, fuck you. I don't care.
Yes, no, fair enough. Again, I'm not I'm not going to be out there defending Kevin Durant in 20 years on any online forums or anything, if we even do that in 20 years. But
we'll be in the metaverse. We'll be walking around. Like, you guys can watch. You guys can sit in a room. We'll literally see a room with like two people watching us do this debate.
Yes. But you know, he's in that same category for me as Steph and LeBron. Like, he's a legend of the game, and we're not going to have very much longer. I just couldn't leave him off. But I'm interested who your last guy is in that starting spot, Matt, because mine is another kind of weird one. But I feel all the same pretty strongly about it. So I'm interested to see who you went with.
So I went with a guy that, again, kind of goes against a lot of the principles of what I've developed a lot of my starters from. But I just think he's been such a goddamn, you know, demigod, alien, freak. I had to put him in there. I think his team would be doing even worse, obviously, if he wasn't on the court. You know, they're 12th in the West right now. But, imagine where they would be without him. I got Victor Wembanyama, or as a lot of people call him, Hector Banana Bread. Not sure if you're up on that lore, Jordan.
No, but, I'm not.
Victor, some girl made a Reddit post saying that she wanted to buy her boyfriend his favorite NBA player's jersey for Christmas, and she couldn't remember his name. She thought it was Hector Banana Bread.
Oh, there we go.
And then everyone's like, that's definitely Victor Wembanyama. Hector Banana Bread. Victor Wembanyama is my fifth starter on the Western Conference starting All-Star team. In the front court, I mean, almost 24 points per game, 11 rebounds. Obviously the 3-point shooting for a 7-foot-3 guy is like insane, phenomenal. And I mean, rewarding defense. Has to be the runaway right now for Defensive Player of the Year, or at least has to be up there in the top two candidates. 1.1 steals per game, and then 4 blocks per game. Like, in our era, Jordan, like, people don't average over like 2 blocks per game. Like for like 15 years, like, if you were hovering around like close to like 2.5, 2.6, like, you were a freak. Like, nobody.
Well, that's what would lead the league. In most years, 2.5-ish. Yeah. If you got to 3, it was like, whoa. Like, Serge Ibaka, I swear, like, a year was like pushing it. Early on in OKC, like Dwight
AD was close. Yeah, young
AD. Like, you go back, but yeah, 4 is like, that's like.
It's otherworldly. Like, now we're talking like Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain shit.
Yes. And I don't even think they technically counted blocks back then. But, even in the 80s, like Mark Eaton and stuff, like, it's been long.
Bill Walton.
It's been, 100%. It's out of this world to be averaging that many.
But yeah, I think the individual stats are good enough. And you know what? This maybe was just one that is a fun pick.
Yes.
Good guy to have in there.
100%.
So I got Victor Wembanyama as my fifth guy in the All-Star starters here.
Matt, I don't disagree with anything you said. It might shock you. He's not on my team, okay? And it, you know what?
At all.
No, and you know what? It's not even his. It's not even his fault. I can't blame him fully. But I'm looking at this jumbled Western Conference. Like, the Spurs are the ones that are out. They're on the outside looking in right now. True. And maybe it's more recency bias, and they'll win a few games and get back in the jumble. But they're 3 games under 500 right now. And so, you know, in that 12th spot, there's just guys I picked on more winning teams. And maybe that's kind of silly of me, like I'm saying, a bit short-sighted, whatever. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be an All-Star when you look at the numbers and the impact that he has. It was going to pain me to leave someone off. And I went with Wemby. Even as I'm saying it, I'm kind of shocked that I did, but I did. And I'm going to hold firm here, Matt. I'm not going to back down.
Hey.
But my last guy is my starters. This might shock a lot of people. Jaren Jackson Jr. I'm starting.
Okay,
him
hey, I like it. I'm here for it, man.
Is he an all-star game type player? Absolutely not. But no. Is he probably the sort of constant, the thing that has held together the Grizzlies, who continue to sit third in the Western Conference, 28-15, for God's sakes? Yes. Like, Ja Morant, people forget, mm-hmm. has only played 25 games this year. He has missed a lot of time. He's been in and out of the lineup. The there's been tons of other guys who have missed time as well. Triple J has been
there. We're talking about averaging 3 blocks per game. I mean, we're all forgetting his inflated season yes. where he shot up to 3 blocks per game.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, on the offensive side, it's not like I'm, you know, throwing him a bone here. He's 22.6 points per game, 6.5 rebounds, which is actually good for him. You know, not that good for a big man, but for him, that's pretty good. He's up, you know, at 2 assists per game, which is, you know, believe it or not, a little high, higher than his sort of career average so far. You know, 34% from 3, I think that's decent for a floor stretching big. Mentioned, he holds it down in the paint, still one of the best rim protectors in the league. Again, like a lot of the other guys that I've picked here throughout this sort of exercise, I want to reward teams that are really good. And I just needed to give Memphis somebody. Ja wasn't going to make it in, and Jaren Jackson Jr. was really the only other guy. It was between him and another guy who may or may not have made all-star teams on a winning team in the West, Houston, hint, hint, nudge, nudge. But I went with him on my starting team. If only I just like the idea of Jaren Jackson Jr. playing next to Jokic. Could you imagine if they ever actually were on the same team together on an actual NBA court? Like, that would be such a perfect front court pairing. So I want to see it. Not that the teams are going to be as they're voted in this year because of the weird four-team thing. But
Again, we're doing our actual traditional All-Stars. Like, it's going to be all fucked.
The teams are going to be – I don't know how this is going to turn out. But, I went with Jaren Jackson Jr., a bit of a weird one. I don't even know if he'll make it ultimately, even as a reserve. But, I think he deserves it.
Well, I've got him on my reserves, man. Nice. That was a guy who I threw him in there, and I felt very confident. I felt good about it. I think he deserves it. All the reasons you said, he has been the most important player for the Grizzlies this season. And really, I mean, if you want to have that conversation, last 2-3 seasons, he's been their most important player because Jaw's been in and out of the lineup due to injury as well as off the court issues and everything. Like, he has been the lone constant on this squad, a big rotating door of talent coming in and out of the lineup throughout the last couple seasons, and he's always been there and holding it down. And whether it's for good or for worse, he's been there and he's been performing. So I definitely think that Jaren Jackson Jr. deserves Triple J All Star appearance here. So I didn't have him starting, but I do like it.
Nice.
He's never been an All Star, correct?
No, I think he has. Hold on.
He might have went in that year. He had the DPOY season.
Let's see.
He cracked it.
Yes, one time All-Star.
One time. Okay, well, that's good. No one wants to be a one-time All-Star.
2023. So, DPOY year. Yep.
Cool. Three blocks a game. That makes sense. Well, good. Like yeah, good for him. He'll be back in there. 2025 All-Star. We got him. Unanimous.
And you got to reward the defense.
Yes, 100%. You mentioned him here. You said him without saying his name. I'm going to throw him out here because he's on my reserve, my front court. I got Alperen Sengun.
Yep.
Same kind of deal as Jaren Jackson Jr. You have to have a Houston Rocket.
I'm
they're the second best team in the West, one of the best teams across the entire NBA. Offensively and defensively, this team is fucking amazing to watch. Couldn't give them Fred VanVleet. I couldn't give them Jalen Green. So it had to be Sengun.
Yep.
And the stats aren't bad by any means. I mean, they're pretty much the exact same as Jalen Johnson. If we were just talking the main categories, 19, 10, and 5. Exact same stats across that spot, too. I mean, the three-point shot hasn't been there. But, again, he's a center that gets it done. He does a lot of things great. The passing, obviously, is what really sets him apart.
Yep.
I believe he's third right now across the NBA in passes or assists, pardon me, for a center per game.
Yep.
So I do think he is probably the most important player on this Rockets team. I think that, again, between him, VanVleet, Jalen Green, you know, you want to throw Amon Thompson, Dylan Brooks in the mix, whoever it is. I think that, you know, he is the one guy that if he's not on the team, that would make the biggest impact.
Yes.
With him off the court. So I got to give him some respect. I got to get the Rockets at least one guy in there. And I think that Sengun's probably going to get a couple more All-Stars later on in his career. So I'm happy to get the first one out of the way.
Yeah. He's been getting better every year, like a lot of these guys. And, you know, the Rockets win by committee all these, like, crazy, when you're talking about Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks, these wily vets that know how to defend, and then these really athletic young guys that want to get out there and defend, like, that's really how their win is, based on their defense. But the offense all goes through Sengun. Like, without him, I think they'd look, you know, already a shaky offensive team would look so much worse. He's sort of the guy that they can go to add some creativity in the mix. Like, you're looking at it, I still think Fred VanVleet is the big dog on the Rockets overall, but my God, I forgot how bad of a year he's having just from the pure stats. He's averaging like 14 points per game or something.
Sister good, kind of.
Sure, yeah. And he's still a great leader. I still value everything. I mean, much like Siakam, I'll always stand up for Fred VanVleet, root for him. But
he was fucking frustrating in the playoffs a couple times. but he pulled through in the finals.
Well, and the Bucks series showed up game five. Jesus Christ.
End of the Phillies there. Yes. Game six. Yes. Believe he had a couple big shots.
Yep. For me, Sengun, you got to give him so much credit for how the Rockets work offensively. And like we both said, the Rockets deserve someone. Got to give him at least one. And I went with Sengun there. And then I'll let you keep going, Matt, but I'll take LeBron, like I said, off my board. He's on my other, one of my other forwards on my bench.
Cool. Okay. So we've got one more spot each then on our front court left.
I think we'll be aligned on this. Yep. Wait. Who's your other one? Oh.
I've got Sengun and Triple J.
Oh, yeah. You have a Triple J. Yeah. Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So my last guy that I've got here, and I think we will be. I feel like you like this guy enough. Again, in the West, there is such that jumble, you know, from like 5th to 11th of teams that are right around 500, just above, just below, whatever. So I wanted to give these guys one of them. You know, obviously, I'm kind of hoping on their downfall, but they deserve at least one All-Star. Couldn't give them two. I almost did. I'm still even it's still tough. Again, the Western Conference was really hard to really break down. But Domantas Sabonis is getting an All-Star nod from me. He's
on
had
the bench,
an awesome year.
Not as a off wild the bench. Card?
Not as a wild card. I've just got him straight up. Domantas Sabonis, you know, bench all-star here. And I do think it's hard to argue. Shout out to De'Aaron Fox. He's had a sensational season as well. But I just think that Sabonis is kind of like Sengun to Jalen Green. He is the more important player when it actually comes to their winning culture on that team. 21 points per game, 6 assists, second most among all centers.
Yep,
obviously, Jokic number one there. And then 14 fucking rebounds per game. He's shooting the three ball at a career high rate, 48%, which is awesome to see. 60% from the floor. I mean, this guy is, I think at this point, almost a quintessential all-star. I know he's not the guy that everybody's like, oh, he's my favorite player to watch, whatever. I think if you're a basketball purist, you're someone who just likes to watch good hoops, people that actually want to go out there and, you know, just win. They're not really concerned about the stats. They'll all come. Sabonis is one of those guys. And I'm more than happy. Like, I actually think it's kind of a sicko's dream. Like, this my reserve front court of Triple J, Sengun.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah.
But I think that they all three of those guys deserve it. Obviously, all different reasons, but the stats back it up. And yeah, I wanted to have one king in there, so I went with Sabonis.
Yeah, love it. I've got Sabonis on my team, but not until the wild card round. So that's my front court wild card pick off the board there. It's crazy. We've talked now in the West about Jokic, Sengun, and Sabonis. It's like a Pokemon evolution. You have Sengun, a Sengun turns into a Sabonis, and then finally a Jokic, all with sort of similar skill sets there. Sabonis, I agree about the Sabonis Fox thing. Like, I know there's, I think, you know, sort of generally speaking, you're probably either more of a Fox type guy or Sabonis type guy. When you look at like two guys who I think are pretty evenly weighted as sort of the leaders and best players and guys who make the team tick over there in Sacramento. Yeah.
For the record, again, go back to season one of Big Dog Ball Talk. I've been a long time Sabonis guy.
You have.
We used to debate Sabonis versus Miles Turner. I haven't seen his name floating around any All-Star conversations.
Hold on. He was on my short list when I decided I needed a pacer. Okay?
Even this year, yeah.
But no, like
it's not that far off from Siakam. He's like five less points, one more rebound, it's true. Same amount of assists.
Better rim protector.
yeah.
But
let's go back. What's his Hall of Fame problem?
I understand the argument for De'Aaron Fox. Like I think Sacramento would be much worse off if they didn't have a lead guard like De'Aaron Fox, all that stuff. But I think people need to really wrap their head around, you know, the fact that Sabonis is an incredibly important part of that team as well. Again, provides that like little kind of wild card, like when you have a good playmaking big that you can get the ball to sort of at the foul line and such a good rebounder to clean things up, like that's such an underrated presence to have. So yeah, I've got Sabonis in there. And in the case of De'Aaron Fox, like it's not that he wasn't on my short list as well, but there's a lot of great guards in the West. He didn't quite make the cut for me.
Long time. It's been the hardest position to crack across any All-Star team. Yep. I think it's probably it probably still is, but I do think that we're seeing a little bit of the change in the guard in that sense. It wasn't as tough for me to do this year. Fox is probably one of the only guys, Western Conference guards-wise, that I was like, it sucks that you're left off, but that was probably one of the only guards that I was really like, tough to not put him in here.
Yeah. And I'm interested. So okay, I've got, Sabonis on my team, but not till the wild card slot. So my last, after Sengun and LeBron, like I previously said, my last forward spot, and I'm surprised. I would be slightly surprised if you don't have him on your team. I'm assuming he's going to be one of your wild card picks, but I could be wrong here. But I got Jalen Williams from OKC, just because.
Yep, my
again,
wild card.
Like you can't give OKC just one guy. I don't think that's fair when they've been so good. And Jalen Williams is kind of the obvious pick there, having a great year. Even though, again, you know, little shaky offensive performances here and there, you still depend on him a lot, especially when SGA misses time. And great two-way player, underrated rebounder, good efficiency, didn't feel right leaving him off.
100%, yeah. I only have my wild card. Again, I debated having him higher. At one point, I had him totally off of it. I think I had Anthony Davis in his spot for a long time, actually.
Yep.
Who's having an awesome year in his own right. But again, I kind of wanted LeBron over AD. And then the Thunder are way too good to only have two All-Stars. You know what I mean? Or only have one All-Star. So I was like, I got to put him in there. He has to be. If he doesn't get in there, I'll actually be a little bit annoyed, because again, his stats don't completely jump out at you, like only 20 points per game. And he's not really, I wouldn't say, a household name by any means. He's not going to be on any of your top 10 highlight reels on a given night, but he's still a really solid player. He does everything well on the court, super underrated defender, really efficient as well. So I'm more than happy to throw him in there as my my wild card front court member on this team. Not to go all the way back to the East, but like it's the same thing with how like Darius Garland, like I really consider putting him in there.
Yep, me too.
As well, because his team is so good. With the West, I didn't want to feel the same way, so I had to put Jalen Williams in there as well. Cool. First time All-Star, really nice to see. I believe it's only his third season as well, so very, very nice to see a young guy get some recognition.
And if we go back, if you remember, Matt, first player comparisons this year, I gave you Jalen Williams' raw stats versus Anthony Edwards. I think you picked Ant, but you hesitated a little bit. It was a bit of a toss-up.
It was close.
By
it's just the scoring numbers.
Because Jalen Williams just does all the other little things so well, like the defensive stats as well. I think he's solid on the stocks. Like you mentioned there, the rebounding, the passing, all of it. And when you look at OKC, like I think if Chet hadn't got injured, he would probably have a better case to be that second OKC All-Star than
I probably would have Chet.
Because I think he would have. He's a more sort of scoring will come more easily to him. He'll have great block stats and rebounding and all that. But that doesn't mean Jalen Williams isn't deserving. And the Thunder have held their own through this period without Chet, and it's largely due to him playing bigger than he is. So I think
100%. Well, moving on then. You have Jalen Williams there as one of your straight up just Western Conference front court backups here off the bench. So we got two guard spots open then, Jordan. And again, this is where it gets crazy.
Aligned, I think, but I don't know. I'm hoping.
I mean, We come from a certain generation where I feel like I feel like with the two guys we've got here are probably going to be the same. First guy I'm going to throw out here, I think, like, I wish it was Norman Powell. It's not.
I know.
But the Clippers 110% need a guy. And
there's only one.
The guy who's led them, it's the beard, James Harden. He has to be an all-star this year. I mean, I believe I don't know if it was you or me or I don't know, but the was it last year he didn't get an all-star appearance at all? And we were both, I think we both had him as a starter last year.
Yeah, I think it was something weird like that. Yeah, because
it was while he was still with the Sixers. I think it was. He was averaging like 12 assists or something crazy. Yep. It's still insane that he didn't get an all-star nod that year.
Yep.
But I do think this year he definitely deserves it. 21 points, 8 assists, 5 boards, closer to 6. Still keeping it efficient and he is the big dog on the Clippers right now. Obviously, Kawhi has been in and out, came back due to after his injury, but then, you know, obviously the fires out there in LA, he was helping with his family out there.
Yep.
We know he's a big family man, so then it was back to just James Harden carrying it along with Norm and Big Zoo.
Yep.
And I really don't think you can understate how good he's been this year. And again, we're two guys who have admittedly said, like, we're not James Harden fans. We've shit on this guy more than almost any player on here, probably not named Westbrook,
absolutely,
on this podcast throughout history. So I really do think that he deserves his flowers this year. He's doing it at an advanced age, and he's really not showing any signs of slowing down. He's found ways to go from, you know, the 31 point per game score. He was averaging more like 35. 21 points, but he is finding ways to make everyone else around him better. So I think James Harden, again, I might have even considered him as a starter, but I'm more than happy to have him coming off the bench on my Western Conference All-Star team.
Yeah. He's like you said, I would have loved to have picked Norm. Norm is having the closest to an all-star type season that he's ever had and probably will ever had. He's He's been incredible. But again, you
give him the most improved.
Please. Yeah, 100%. But you just can't. You can't overstate how much everything runs through Harden on this team. Like, that's just what, obviously they're solid defensively. They made some good pickups like Derek Jones Jr. in the offseason. I really liked what they did. We both, thought coming into this year, this could be the most effective looking Clippers team that they've had through this entire run, including when they had Paul George. And the fact that Kawhi's been missed out so much of the season and they're in the fifth spot is just unbelievable. And it's all set up by James Harden. He 100% in my mind has to be an all-star this year. As much as, it pains me to say, Mr. Choker, James Harden, he needs to be in there.
Yeah, and then the other guy next to him, I think that we'll be aligned on this one. His former teammate, a guy who, you know, has carried this Dallas Mavericks team. Obviously, I think if Luka Doncic was healthy, he would be in this spot. I'm not sure if this guy would be on the All-Star team if Luka was fully healthy. I mean, I did say he was having his best year of his career earlier this season, and I still think that there's merit to that statement. But I've got Kyrie Irving there in the backcourt with James Harden off the bench. 24 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds, shooting 48, 43, and 89. So we're closing in to 50-40-90 territory here for Kyrie Irving. Improved defensively. He has been awesome, and he's kept this Mavericks team afloat. They're kind of getting hit hard a little bit right now. Some other injuries hitting the Mavericks. Derek Lively went down. But there's still 3 games above 500. When Luka comes back, this team is going to be absolutely terrifying to play against. But I don't think that you can sing Kyrie's praises on the court higher this season. He's been phenomenal.
Yep. Matt, I thought we were going to be aligned. We're not quite aligned.
Not. Wow.
I have Kyrie, but he's my last wild card spot.
Kyle Lowry?
Yeah.
He's in the East.
But I do have Kyrie for all the reasons you said. Yeah, he's been great, keeping the Mavericks afloat, 100%. But and I'm interested to see, have you, your wild card, you've got, who have you revealed so far?
I have Jalen Williams.
Jalen Williams. So you've still got a backcourt guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I think this might be your backcourt guy that I've got on my bench, but who knows? We'll see. But I could not keep Steph off of my my bench. I put him on there. I know he's having a bit of a down year by Steph standards, but again, you look at what this Warriors team would be this year without Steph. I mean, we just got the fucking alert today. Draymond's going to be out again. He's been in the lineup so much, in and out of the lineup so much of the time. Like, if Steph was not on this team, this would be a, you know, Trailblazers level, if not worse than that, maybe Pelicans level type squad.
Yeah. With no Kuminga either.
Yeah. So I got to give Steph his flowers. I know, again, he's not having the best year, but got to have Steph in there. And I would pretty happily, you know, sort of flip flop on whether to put Kyrie technically on the bench or the wild card, whatever. But Steph, yeah, for me, again, just like LeBron, just like KD, in that category of until someone really, really knocks them off and they really fall off, I'm going to sort of give them the benefit of the doubt. So I had Steph in there and then Kyrie as my my wild card for my last spot.
Nice. Well, I don't hate the pick because, again, this is another guy. The East, I really didn't have to change up much. It was mostly – actually, you know what, though? Go ball a little bit back to the East. I should have probably said it before. But Siakam, the guy who I had him before him, actually, and I wanted to test it out on you, which is why I did this in our blind comparisons. I actually did have RJ Barrett in.
Hey,
and
then
I
went, you know what?
Okay, you know what? That's too much. That's too much homerism. I've done it every other year. I didn't want to do it this year.
I know. I would have loved it, though. I would not have been mad. I would have jumped on that wagon with you. But yeah, I couldn't quite get there with any Raptors either. But you're keeping me in suspense, Matt. Do you have Steph or not, or have you moved on from one of the best
shooters
of all
time?
Man. Who do you go? Oh,
no Steph on my all-star
this
team.
This was staring me right
I teased
in the face.
It already.
Yeah, you got Devin Booker.
Yeah. I got Devin Booker in there. You know, they've had the same team record. The Suns have actually beat them head-to-head.
Yep.
They've got that tiebreaker. And Devin Booker's stats are better than Steph's as well. To go along with that, just under a hair under 26 points per game, 6 assists per game, 4 rebounds, and he's shooting the ball at an awesome rate as well. I think Devin Booker deserved it. Like, again, it was between him and Kevin Durant. I was flip-flopping through all these other guys. Again, Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant. Jalen Williams really was kind of a fork in there. But once I cemented that I needed to get 2 Thunder in there, that can make it a little bit easier because then I looked at the stats. And then, yeah, De'Aaron Fox also really, really close to getting in there, but I didn't want to give 2 to any of those kind of middle-of-the-pack teams.
Yep.
So Devin Booker ends up getting my last guard spot. And I think it's deserved. I another guy who I think, like, it's crazy. I think when guys hit, like, they're not a peak necessarily, but once they hit, like, a crazy mainstream level, like when they went to the finals, ever since then, I don't really think people look at Devin Booker the same. Like, I feel like people love the come up, and then once they stay at, like, that all-NBA, all-star, whatever, like, household name level, people kind of forget about them unless they play on these big markets, which I think is a big problem in sports in general, but that's a conversation for another day.
Yeah.
But again, like, we can look back, the bubble, he hits that shot, the Suns go on that big streak, lose me $50.
Hell yeah, baby.
And Devin Booker still that to that day, that iconic buzzer beater, Devin Booker's on the ground laying in the plank on the court.
Yep.
You know, that was like a big star making moment. Then the finals run, like, everything went to plan. And then since then, I don't feel like Devin Booker really gets featured in these conversations of, you know, the best Western Conference guards or best guards in the NBA, even though his stats are still, you know, among the best of the league. They're still elite, but I don't think he really gets nearly as much respect as a lot of these other guys do.
Yeah, and he was one of my first guys off in the West, like you mentioned. Some of these guys, like Anthony Davis, yes, having a great season. Wembanyama obviously is the big one that I don't think a lot of people will have left off like I have, but yeah, in terms of guards, it was De'Aaron Fox and it was Devin
Booker.
I
thought you were going to go Chris Paul.
Yeah, Chris Paul, heavily considered him as well. You know, I think maybe the Spurs deserve 2, but couldn't decide on who. But the thing with Devin Booker, 100%, like, he's also been great if you look at, like, international competitions since that.
Sure,
not that this factors into it, but just the type of player that he is, I think, as a guy who, you know, is thought of as kind of a good stats, bad team guy early on, has really turned into more of a I'll do whatever it takes to win type guy, especially like in the context of the Olympics this past summer. He was the guy out there with all the legends, Steph, LeBron, whatever big they had there out on their court, and Kevin Durant. The guy that they went with alongside that group was Devin Booker because, and Steve Kerr specifically said this, like, he was going to be there, he's going to shoot. You know, when he was open, he's going to be aggressive, but he's not going to play sort of over his head. He's going to make the right pass. He's going to compete defensively, which I will defend Devin Booker to the hills. You know, since that finals run, he has been a good defender and shown that he can be one, sort of, you know, in that kind of Kobe school of, you know, just sort of getting, you know, down and dirty and competing on both sides of the floor. So yeah, it did pain me to leave him off. Went with Kevin Durant over him in this particular case, but definitely deserving.
Yeah. Well, again, I think you can go all the way back to his days as a Kentucky Wildcat. Like, we're just talking, I mean, not to go on a tangent about Devin Booker, but, you know, we're talking about the USA time. Like, he was coming off the bench.
Yes.
He was a 6-man for that team. And then ends up being by far and away the best player on that stacked Wildcats team. You know, that was that they had that insane starting five. I mean, Trey Lyles, you're still kicking around.
Oh, wait, sorry. It wasn't the Cat year. I'm getting
no. Cat was there, I believe. I believe Cat was there.
Was it? Oh, I'm getting it mixed
up. Frank Kaminsky.
Yes, I'm getting mixed up.
Because they were undefeated.
I'm getting it mixed up with the Anthony Davis year, but no, Devin Booker was the Cat year, wasn't he?
Yeah. And then they had the Harrison twins, Trey Lyles. Yes, and was it Malik Monk?
Yes, I think so. I think it was Malik Monk. Fuck, I'm getting all these Kentucky teams sort of mixed up. But
sick
I think
team. They lost to Wisconsin. That was probably my favorite March Madness ever.
Oh,
lost
that was
to.
Awesome. I predicted that Wisconsin upset. Shout out Nigel Hayes. Shout out Sam Decker. Hey,
I predicted that Jahlil Okafor was going to be the GOAT, and
fuck
he beat him and Sam Decker.
What's his goddamn name? Who looks like Ted Cruz, Devin Booker's teammate now. That was his game. Grayson Allen.
Yes, it was.
Man. I wanted, I had Wisconsin winning it all that year. That hurt.
Yeah. Malik Monk was on, did play for Kentucky. I don't know if it was that year, though, that he was the missing starter here. Oh, Tyus Jones?
Yeah. No, Tyus Jones is Duke, isn't he? I think Tyus Jones is Duke.
Oh,
he was on
the
Okafor year. He was the point guard. I swear.
Yeah, that might make more sense. So who's the shooting guard there? Because it was. The Harrison twins but one of them came off the bench. I swear.
Yeah. Well, Devin Booker was the.
Wasn't Tyler Ulis?
Oh, was it Ulis? Ulis was Kentucky, but I forget what year is it. We need to go back. We need to do our March Madness brush up and come back and discuss.
We should just a retrospect, and then we'll give out our actual picks for it, because yeah, there is actually a lot of great college basketball teams that end up having crazy like random guys that played.
All that mattered was Drake was involved with those Kentucky teams. That's all I care about. Okay.
Tyler Ulis was on that team. Cat, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Oh, that's
who
the
it was.
I was forgetting. Yeah.
And Trey Lyles was pushed up. Yeah. It was Willie Cauley-Stein. Yeah. Willie Trilly. Crazy that he couldn't figure out a way to keep his himself in the NBA.
I know.
He had it all going for him.
Great name.
What happened? Shout out to Calipari. Not really though. But anyways, that wraps up. Because I believe that's that you giving out your full team So that's our full All-Star teams. East and West, let us know at Big Dog Ball Talk if you guys agree on TikTok, which is back to you guys
in
the States.
Thank you, President Trump.
Like,
fuck you, President.
Yeah, it's almost like something was a little fugazi there. I don't know. Let's hope that any American listeners, you can at least see through that a little bit. Moving on, though, give us a follow. TikTok, Instagram, X. Elon Musk, another guy, big Trumpy, shout out to him. Again, not really, fuck you. And Facebook for all you old heads out there. Give us a follow, help you, help us, and help me, help you.
Help me. Help me.
Help me. Give us a follow, and we'll be back on Friday for our midseason awards and recap of everything else that's going on, as well as recapping the actual top five, starting fives for each, the East and the West. But again, it doesn't really matter. You just hear the real.
Yep.
Western Conference and Eastern Conference All-Stars.
Correct.
And until then, this has been Big Dog Ball Talk. By that, Jordan Flegel. And as my good friend Jordan always says.
Blue Monday, Matt. Knock that back. Matt's just polishing off his bud. Good for him. But
I'd like to save it.
For real, happy MLK Day. Very, very strange that Trump's inauguration was today. I feel like that doesn't always
apparently
line up.
It's every day. it's every year. Whenever they have the president coming in, the inauguration or whatever, because I worked with some Americans, so I had said, I was like, oh, that's weird that it's MLK Day. And then I said, apparently that's every year that every time that happens, it's always on MLK.
Very
which
weird.
I feel like MLK is probably rolling in his grave.
I would say so. You know what? Whatever. We're back with Trumpy.
Build the wall
for another 4 years. But yeah, build the wall on our border, please. The US and Canada, that'd be great. We'll see about these tariffs. If they devastate the podcasting industry, who knows? We'll we'll see if we're even sort of in Canada, technically speaking, for that much longer. We could be sort of part of the new North America Greenland Alliance. We could be the 51st state. We will see, but we'll continue podcasting no matter what.